life is not found in a bigger home. There's nothing wrong with a big home. There's nothing wrong with a small home. But life is not found there. It's never found in the abundance of the things that we possess, even though the world tells you that it is. Again, life, true life, is only found in one person. His name is Jesus. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and once again, we welcome you to the broadcast. And currently, we're airing Pastor Bill's study of the New Testament epistle of James. The message today is titled, Rich Man, Poor Man. Now, Pastor Bill.
Turning our Bibles, we are in the epistle of James, the half-brother of Jesus, and we're going to cover three verses, believe it or not, this morning. But let me go ahead and read the verses. It begins in verse 9. It says, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but let the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he'll pass away. For no sooner than the sun has risen with a burning heat that it withers the grass, the flower falls, beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." And the church says, amen. Amen. You know, when we think about those few verses, and you know, all week I prayed and I said, "Lord, I sure would like to kind of do a little more than that." And I could not get away from just those three verses. So obviously, there's a specific word for all of us, the season that we're in. And remember, as we look at the rich man and the poor man, and that we're talking about in those verses, that the book of James was written for a specific reason. It was written, of course, to the 12 tribes, the Jewish Christians, but it was written that we might mature and grow spiritually in Christ Jesus. And so we have five chapters, and in every verse, nearly, we can measure our own maturity, our spiritual maturity. So he wants us to grow up. And as you know, you've already learned, James is a drill sergeant. Man, it's not like he smiles, I don't even think. He's one command after another. And we only have 108 verses, but in that, over 50 commands that from the Holy Spirit given unto us. Now, listen carefully. When you read those nine verses, it's easy to just read them and go on past them. But in verses 9 through 11, it might seem that James is now moving on to a different topic. But actually, that's not true. It flows very nicely because he's still talking about the trials of life and that we are to count them all joy. Amen? So we want to keep that in our hearts and minds. So before us, we have a couple of tests. And we have to see how we're going to do this morning on that. We have the test of being poor for a season in our life, a poverty, if you will, and then the test of being rich, having money, and so forth, being wealthy. And the thing about that is one is permanent and one is perishable. You follow me? The eternal riches of God, they are eternal. They never perish. You know, but what we have here may be gone tomorrow. What's interesting in these verses, 9 through 11, there are only 60 words, just 60 words. And yet there's a nugget in here. I don't know, maybe the Lord will finally drop it into my spirit during this message this morning. But like I said, I couldn't get away from it. But when we look at these 60 words this morning, it is very, very important that we do something. And we need to, if you will, walk in the shoes of the Jewish believers of that time. Do you follow me? If we don't do that, we're not going to really understand the verses before us, because we know that this was written to the 12 tribes, the Jewish Christians, and they were scattered abroad into the Gentile nations. And the reason is because of persecution. Amen? Are y'all with me? Okay, because of the persecution, they were just simply scattered. Now, that was both religious persecution and Roman persecution. So let's put ourselves in where they are right now. For example, let's go all the way back, and here we are them. And here this persecution has just all over Jerusalem. and then we have to leave. I mean, we have to leave now. We could be arrested. We could be killed. The things that were happening. And so they were scattered. And think about it. The home that you love, the apartment that you live in, the young adults that still live with mom and dad. That's a joke. I'm sorry. You have to leave. Everything that is in your house, all of a sudden, you can maybe take out a few possessions and you carry them away with you. And you know, I mean, look at the crowd. There's the young people. There's the old people. There's the feeble people. There's the strong people. There's the sick. And some of the young women married or pregnant, and then some of them just had babies, and or some of them are sick. Are y'all with me? You see what I'm saying? You get that whole group together. Listen, do you think that that whole group, whenever that scattering occurred, do you think they all had dreams about plans, looking toward the future, just like we make plans and how we look toward the future? And then all of a sudden, their entire world, the world that they had known, all of a sudden it was turned upside down, and they were literally scattered. Now let's bring it up to date right now, and I want you to think about this. It's very important. What would you do right now if that happened to us? No, right now, in this church, right this minute, that some form of governmental persecution, whatnot, or a war, anything, we had to leave everything this very minute. In other words, our homes are gone. You know, our normal is gone. And all we have is a car out there with a half a tank of gas. We can't use our ATM machines anymore. You have a Bible app and no Bible. Now you can't plug it in. No, listen, I'm just teasing you, but listen, think about what would you really do? Where would you go? And let me ask you this, what would be the most pressing issue in your lives like it was in their lives? It would be, how am I going to make it? It would be, how am I going to feed my family? Where am I going to go? Everything I had was in my house, but my house is no more. I can't go there. I have to, where do I go? Are y'all following me now? And I look at it and say, dear Lord, the test of being poor, the poor Christian, all of a sudden you're plunged into that. Now listen, it is never the social status, it's never material resources that delivers you or carries you through the trial. It is always our spiritual resources. Amen? That's right. Listen, you can lose everything, but you cannot lose the one who loves you, the one who died for you, the one who paid for your sins, the one who is coming for you, the one who will never relax his hold upon you, the one who is with you forever, even into the end of the age. And guess what? You have the Word of God. You have the Spirit of God. You have the grace of God. You've lost everything. And Jesus said this. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things that you need, meaning the things you need in life, clothing, food, da-da-da, will be added unto you. Even though you don't, well, have nothing, but you have Jesus. Amen. Do you need any more than Jesus? No, he's our wisdom. He's everything. He's our righteousness. He is our Savior, man. Listen, you can be broke. I mean, you do not have a penny. It doesn't matter. So listen carefully. There is nothing spiritual about being poor. You follow me? I'm going to sell everything I have. I'm going to live up in a tree. I don't know. Come on. There's nothing spiritual about being poor, and there's certainly nothing sinful about having money or being rich. Amen? Very, very important. Now, let's look at it another way. Being poor, what a word, does not mean absolute unhappiness, no more than being rich or wealthy guarantees absolute unhappiness or whatnot. I'm sorry, I've reversed it. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, that doesn't guarantee any of those things. Now, it's important. I want you to see this because I think you'll miss it. I want you to see that as we study these verses about the poor believer and the rich believer, you must remember the event and the cause of why they are in this condition, okay? Especially the poor. So, and it was because of the persecution. That doesn't mean that they were necessarily well-to-do before the persecution, okay? I mean, we're going back to the first century, man. And, you know, but the fact of the matter is, every one of the Jewish men, as they grew up, they had a trade, okay? the rabbis would teach, if you don't teach your son a trade, you'll teach him to be a thief. And so you look at in the New Testament, you know, Peter was a what? This side, you have no clue. Jesus was a carpenter. I'm worried about you now. No, you know, and see, let's see. Matthew was a tax collector. Who's somebody else? Paul was a tent maker. Thank you. There you go. And so was Priscilla and Aquila. So they had trades. But listen carefully. Before the persecution doesn't mean that every Jewish believer, boy, they were doing great, but they were not necessarily poor. But now they became poor. And that's what this persecution did. So what would you say to a group of believers that love Jesus? What would you say to them if you met them and here they are, they lost everything? What would you tell a brother or sister that's lost everything? What would James tell them? Well, listen to what he says. Verse 9. He gives a command. Unbelievable. He says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. Literally, it would read the brother, the lowly one, or the poor one, or the one that is insignificant, or the one that is down and out. Because that Greek word literally means one who does not rise far from the ground. What does that mean? It means that this lowly brother, he's been knocked down. Amen? But it doesn't mean he's been knocked out, but he's going through a hard time. So what does James tell those that are scattered abroad? They've left everything in their homeland. He tells them, here's what the lowly brother, you're poor, here's what you have to do right now. You have to glory in his exaltation. That's a command. And the word glory means to start bragging in a way or boasting about that. Now listen, James is not commanding them to glory in the fact that you're now poor. That's not what he's saying at all. He's certainly not saying, oh, you better glory to God because you can't feed your family. You can't provide a roof over the head for your family. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying you need to remember who you are in Christ Jesus. And he says, I want you to glory. I'm commanding you. You boast in your exaltation, meaning your high estate. Oh, what a word to be given. I mean, have you ever thought about that when you don't have anything? Think about it. When you have absolutely nothing, do you glory in who you are in Christ Jesus? And that's what he's saying right here. Listen, he's saying to those poor people, you are in the greatest and the highest position in all of the universe. And he commands him. He says, listen, Christian, poor Christian, I know you're without right now, but listen to me. He says, I want you to declare or boast in the staggering, unbelievable privileges and riches that are only found in those or for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And we are rich. Listen, we are to glory in the one who gets you through the trial. See, you can't get through the trial by yourself. Did you know that? I can't get through the trial by myself. Man, I tell you, I need all the help I can get, and I do have it. So you don't pat yourself on the back and say, I'm going to get through this. Yeah, I'm going to do it. No, no, you look to the one who's going to get you through it. Jesus said in John 15:5, he says, without me, you can't do a thing. You can do nothing. But with him, you can do anything. Amen? See, you have to look at your exalted position. Have you ever just lost it all? Have you ever walked out and not had a dime? Listen, I'm talking about where I remember in the younger days, long ago, I remember when I could put everything I owned in the back of my pickup truck. Everything. And that included my clothes. I mean, everything. And I was rude to tell you the truth. It wasn't that nice. I mean, there it is, unloaded. You don't have to worry about the couch, the chair, sheets, pillowcases. Silverware, you know, oh, never mind. But to step out with nothing except knowing who you are and who you have and who will never leave you and who will never let you down. And you may not have a $5 in your pocket and you're rich. Do you understand? And that is what he's saying. He said, you better glory in the one because Jesus, what is Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen. Oh, I can get through this issue because I have all the strength of the Lord in me, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all of my needs according to there's a beautiful word, the riches and glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's our provider. Amen? We have everything that we need. We're to glory in Him. Listen, everything that you have here is not really anything. Everything we have is in heaven. All of our treasure is in heaven. Man, listen, our names are written in heaven. Our Savior is in heaven. No one on this planet, I don't care if you're Bill Gates or whoever the Elon what, Musk, I don't care, you know, whoever, Buffett, whatever his name is. You're the richest people on this planet right now. Yeah. You want to hear about your lowly status, you lowly brother, if you don't have anything? Listen, did you know that only the Christian and no one else on the planet right this minute, only the Christian stands in the unmerited, unearned, undeserved divine favor of the true and living God 24/7. Read Romans chapter 5, okay? I mean, 24, you stand in it. You can't get away from the grace of God. You were saved by grace, amen? What did Paul tell Timothy? Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your strength. So you lose it all. Listen, when Paul, he was in the Mamertine prison, did he have anything? No, he didn't have anything at all. He was able to pen his last letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, wasn't he? He died penniless, penniless. All of his friends had left him, except Timothy. He said, go get Mark, I need him. Tell him to bring the parchments. I need my coat, Timothy. Come before winter. Listen, he died in victory. He didn't die a loser. No, we are the richest people on this planet. And boy, we need to glory every day in our exalted position that we have in Christ Jesus. We are the only people on earth, the Christian, that has peace with God. No, I'm peace with God. If God manifested His glory right now and you fell on your face, you would go, thank God I have peace with God. Do you understand? You not only have peace with God, that peace was purchased. It says Jesus Himself is our peace. You're set apart for God. Talk about rich. Set apart, sanctified, declared holy. Set apart for the plans and purposes of Almighty God. Matter of fact, He has adopted you and me. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. We're about to cry, Abba, Father. Amen? Think about that. Not only are we adopted. Listen, God, you're talking about rich. Before you made one penny on this earth, God chose you in Christ before the world was ever made. In eternity, before time, before anything, before the sun set, sunrise, before any of that, God chose you. Chose you. I mean, God picked you. Think about that. And here you are and say, well, Bill, I don't have $100 to my name. Really? You have everything you need. Now, don't look at your wallet. Look to your God. Amen? Don't look to your bank account. If I looked to my bank account, we would have never started this church 30-some-odd years ago. Do you understand? No. God is the provider of everything that we need. Listen, you're not only chosen, you're purchased, you're redeemed, you're forgiven, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. You want to glory? I tell you, glory in this. Paul said this to the Christian, all things are yours. They're yours, all things. You got to think like God. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. You are co-heirs with Christ. I mean, well, if I was in one of the wild churches, we'd be wild right now. But we're Calvary Chapel. I don't think we ever get wild. I don't know. Lord, help me. Are you poor? Well, if you've lost your faith, you're poor. But if you have faith, you'll never be poor. Do you understand? You can believe the promises of God. How about this one? Let me tell you how poor you are, how lowly you are. It says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be or praised be to God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, who has blessed us, pronounced us blessed with how many? Every. That word means all. Every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now listen, that's not for heaven. It's for here. You have been pronounced blessed by Almighty God. You're the most blessed people on this planet. Man, I tell you what, I would glory. Glory in the fact if I lost my job. I don't have a penny. Oh, yes, you do. You have God. You have everything you need. You have it all. There's no way that any believer can improve on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the scripture I just quoted. Every blessing. God can't give you any more. He's already given you everything. Do you understand? I mean, everything you need, he has already given to you. Listen, wealth cannot buy Ephesians 1:3. Do you understand? You've got it made. Glory, you're just a low-down Christian. Isn't that wonderful to know? You're just a lowly Christian. Don't have a dollar, but you know what? God could rain $100 bills down from heaven if he wanted to. God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. Listen, I told you this story, and I'm going to tell you, because it's just, I can't tell you new stories because it involves you. But in my first pastor, remember about the cake? Remember the cake? We had nothing. And that you could ask my wife, dear Lord, our refrigerator was bare. I mean, we had no money. I could not get a job. I wasn't happy. You know, I was like a little sissy, you know, crying, oh God, you know, faithless. God, why are you punishing me? And then all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. This lady from the church comes and says, God told me to bake you a cake. I'm just looking at her. I said, oh, really? Thank you. He didn't say anything about vegetables, did he? He didn't say anything about some meat, you know, like a steak, huh? You know, a little bit of, a cake. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. And she gazes and says, the secret to the ingredients is in your obedience. And that really cheered me up. I take the cake in, set it on the table. You know, let me tell you something. If when you're really hungry, you don't want sweets. Now, maybe you do. I don't. I want a steak. I want a baked potato. And I want butter. I want salt and pepper on it. You understand me? And I'm looking at that cake. And I said, well, why would there be candles on a cake? It's not my birthday. And I started looking at those candles, and they weren't candles. They were straws. And I said, who would put a straw on a cake? You know, and I was just rude. I'm sorry. And I pull that straw out of that cake and look at it. And I said, well, there's something in it. And I look, and there's a $20 bill. I get the other, I went to Safeway. That's the true word. God can do anything. Do you understand? There's nothing too hard for God. See, you may not have a dollar. Your refrigerator could be empty. If you belong to him and you believe in him, I'm telling you something. He will provide for you. It may not be what you want. It may be a cake, but it provided my needs, didn't it? See, he was teaching me a lesson. And that's what we need to learn. Loved one, listen, wealth can't buy anything, but God will provide everything. We should have abundant joy. Have you ever read the story of Billy Bray? I encourage you to do so if you haven't. He was a Cornish tin miner, okay? And man, he got saved, and I mean, he was wild before he got saved. But when he got saved, he was radical, okay? I mean, and so for 40 years, he talked about Jesus to every person. He was always smiling. Matter of fact, he'd come up talking to people, and he would literally start dancing in front of them because he was so excited about Jesus. And you know what he did for 40 years? He lived poor. You know why? Every paycheck that he got, he supported orphans, widows, people that didn't have anything. He gave all of his money away, and he would go to work and he would dance in the mines. I mean, this is a true story. You need to read this guy. And so when he finally got old and he died, you know what his last word was? Glory. Did you see the word there that we're to glory in his exaltation, our high estate? That's exactly what he was doing. He said, look who I am. Even in the moment his last breath, he was shouting unto the Lord, giving thanks unto the Lord for who he was. You know, what if Christmas is here? We know that. See the pretty stuff on the walls? What if on Christmas Day there wasn't one thing underneath the tree for you or your children? Would you be devastated? Would your children be devastated? I mean, do we want Christmas presents or Christmas presents? You know, what do we really want? Listen, we have to have a God mindset.
Well, there's much more to this message, and Pastor Bill will conclude Rich Man, Poor Man on tomorrow's program. So please tune in again, won't you? Thank you, everyone, for listening with us today. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.